Mini episode 477 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 477. Your FDH Lounge dignitaries today are also your favorite recurring pigskin football talkers, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, back at you again with an almost full slate of games for NFL Week 7. As far as last week goes, you can't say we didn't warn you. When we were talking about high water marks for the season and all that good stuff, for me personally, 4-10-1. 2-1 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock. In short, sort of the inverse of my season, where the plays that I liked actually paid off and everything else went in the crapper. Strangely enough, through 5 weeks, it had been the other way around. I am now 49-41-1, still 54.4% for the season overall. 9-9 on my big three, 3-3 on my lock picks. You, Kyle, at 1-2. 16-10 still for the season. Now, we talked about that last week. I almost feel like I jinxed you. 5-5, that was pretty hard to do. It's hard for anybody, even a pro, to be above sea level every week. So it was due to happen, and now that we got that out of the way, I feel like another big run is right there for you.
Yeah, you know, 5 winning weeks. I was pounding my chest last week. We were feeling pretty good. But, and we'll get into what happened on Sunday pretty soon. I know that the first game, the Thursday nighter, gives us that opportunity to do so. But when I lost Houston on Thursday, Houston wasn't the first of my three recommended plays last week. When that one went down, I just had an uneasy feeling, because it's a better to have a winning week. You don't want to really have to rely on the old Jets Raiders Sunday sweep, do you? That's not a good feeling. And that's what I was looking with. Now, not to cry over spilled milk, but I should have gotten it, okay? And then it was made worse by the fact that a play I did not give out on the show, but that I personally then decided to take on Sunday. The Redskins did the exact same thing as the Jets with pick sixes in the final second that had seconds that had no bearing on the score, on the who won and lost the game, but certainly resulted in about a $500,000 swing in Vegas. Not sure if you've read some of those articles. I'd be surely more than happy to forward them over to you. I read them all 17 times on Monday just to make myself feel better. But, it's the danger of taking bad teams. I think I texted you Sunday afternoon. It's my own arrogance for taking bad teams like that. The bottom line is, when you need Geno Smith not to throw an interception in the closing seconds and you know he's going to be making wild throws 3 times in a row, you're pretty much screwed, and that's what happened to me. So, yeah. I think I'm more mad at the Broncos cornerback for just not going out of bounds, to be honest, than anything else.
They could have done you that solid. They chose not to. This week we have Philadelphia and Tampa Bay on the bye. Of course, first up is the Thursday nighter. It's the 1-5 Jets at the 4-2 Patriots, 8:25 Eastern time from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on CBS and the NFL Network, with Nance Sims and Wolfson on the call. New England is weighing 9.5 on this one, up from 7.5 last week, breaking a streak of Thursday night blowouts. But we've tended to see this coming into these Thursday night games. By and large, it's been a magnifying effect, particularly if one of the two teams involved is a bad team. Everything just seems to get that much more magnified on a short week. And again, as much as New England is rolling, this is not a recommended pick for me, but I'm going to say away the 9.5, because I think this could be another one of these fugly Thursday nighters. The other thing with the Jets too, and I hear everything that you're saying, and that's one that you should have had for a recommended pick and I should have had for a non-recommended pick with the Jets, but we took a horrific team against a good team, a really good team, and that always scares me. Anytime you're saying, there's no way on God's green earth they're going to win the game, but I think they're going to sneak in and get the back door. Yeah, That baby should have made me queasier than I was. I don't know about you. I should have been queasier. I'm not going to repeat that mistake this week. New England minus the 9.5, largely because of the Thursday night phenomenon in my mind.
First off, I hope I don't sound like that when I talk, by the way. That voice you did, I hope that's not how I sound, because if that's the case, I might just send you in my written picks and never speak again, because that sounded pretty horrible.
I have some generic making fun of people voices that I like to go to. They're okay. Sort of stock characters.
Okay. The Browns, the Jets. Anyway.
You guessed right on who that was, by the way.
Okay, there we go. All right. The fact that I took the Jets did not make it an enjoyable viewing experience for me last week. I mean, it is tough to do that. But if you're like me and you're a dog player and you cover up the team names and you see plus 10.5 at home, you're going to go with it. Now, speaking of plus 10.5, you can get that number this week here at 5 Dimes. Most of the places peaked at plus 10 middle of the week here. Game day, which is tomorrow, we're taping this Wednesday, I would expect to see this number to go up more because the favorite tends to receive more action, these standalone games on game day. So,
okay.
Look, I'll just get it out of the way. It's the way I handicap. They screwed me last week. I understand where you're coming from on the Thursday night thing. I really do. And it doesn't make this any more easy. But I'm recommending the Jets, the first of five this week.
Okay.
It's a divisional dog getting more than – first of all, I like division dogs more than a touchdown. If you can give me double digits, I'm going to like it even more. New England – they've been impressive in back-to-back weeks. Yes, they have. But they are now injury-riddled. They lost Ridley on the offensive side of the ball, Mayo on the defensive side of the ball. Tom Brady reportedly is dealing with a sprained ankle. We have seen him in the past, because he's not the most mobile creature in the league by any means to begin with. We have seen him in the past struggle with Rex Ryan's lifting.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that is going to be an issue here, especially if the weather, which I'm hearing is going to be bad, if that holds true. You know, he may really struggle, especially because I don't think the Patriots are going to run the ball. Jets have been a dog of 9 or more 3 times against the Patriots in 2011. They have covered all 3 times. So I'm going with the Jets.
All right. Well, have fun with that.
I'm going to go down. They've got to cover eventually, right? I mean, they're 0-5-1 against the number. If you would have bet them early against the Packers, I guess that's the cover back in week 2. I'm just going down with Rex Ryan's ship. Look, I was the one who said the team's going to start 1-6. I fully believe on Friday morning when you look at the standings, it's going to say 1-6. I look for them to keep it close. They did last year in New England, by the way, on a Thursday night, 13-10, when everyone thought they would get crushed. So,
right.
I'm going with them.
They're due. You sound like me with my infamous red-black theory on roulette at the casino long ago. And with what you're saying about the weather there, cue Billy Joel, generic nor'easter song. That should perhaps be playing behind you as you're talking about that.
Yes.
But we move to the games on Sunday. First of all, it is the 3-2 Seahawks at the 1-4 Rams. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Edward Jones Dome, St. Louis on Fox. 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa on the call. This is one where Seattle is laying 7 points in this one and had been 6.5 at the open. And, again, short week for the Rams. Probably going to be a little bit beat up coming off of that game with the 49ers. They're one of those physical teams that kind of gives you the car wreck effect the next week. You got a fired up Seahawks team coming in here, and a quarterback, by the way, Austin Davis, who has been really prone to turnovers, and that ain't a good thing against the Seahawks team looking to get right defensively. So good old road favorite Ricky back in effect. I'm not recommending this one. It's not one of my 3, but I like Seattle laying the 7 on the road. I think they're going to open up a can of whoop ass here on the Rams.
World's going to be on Seattle here, so you'll certainly have company on your side. I will, on the other hand, be sitting by myself, waving a St. Louis Rams flag. Let's just keep recommending crappy teams here this week, shall we, Ricky?
All right.
7.5. You can get 7.5 at 5 times. Give me the Rams. I just think that Seattle, something's not right at the present time. It was no fluke that they lost to Dallas. They should have lost to Dallas by a lot more than they did. Dallas owned them. And I know that St. Louis, the short week, that's a good point. You made several of them in there. But
thank you.
This is a team that they're not good by any means. I mean, trust me, they're going to be picking very early next April in Chicago, okay? And hopefully they'll be taking a quarterback, all right? Hopefully they're just going to end this Austin Davis and Sam Bradford nonsense once and for all and get a real quarterback in there because they need one. But they're competitive, and this is a division game. Seattle, certainly not the same team on the road as they are at home. And, oh, by the way, the last 4 weeks, the Seahawks' point differential is dead even. So I'd be really leery about laying this many points with Seattle on the road right now. Give me the Rams, second recommendation out of five this week.
Very interesting. I have to say, too, that when you look at this Rams team, they should blow out the entire coaching staff, especially Fisher and the defense after this year. And I guess if you blow out Fisher, you're blowing out all the coaches. But how a team with that front seven has the worst pass rush in the league,
yes.
They should all be fired. Unforgivable.
I'm surprised. I thought you were a Jeff Fisher guy. I'm surprised.
I'm not. I've always been a Greg Williams guy because he color codes his organizational. Yes. The man is very organized. He color codes. He's one of the earlier proponents of that in the league. And I like to get behind that. You know that I color code the FDH draft boards. But, again,
color coding? You like him because of his color coding?
It's a sign of a great organizational mind, yes. I've been a long-time Greg Williams guy because of that.
I figured you might have liked him for his conservative policies on the human body. I thought that's why you would have enjoyed Greg Williams. I don't know if it's Fisher's problem. Unfortunately, real quick note on St. Louis, just on a macro level here. Prevailing wisdom seems to be that they won that trade with Washington, the RG3 trade. They got all that stuff. But can you say that, really? Washington, I know RG3 hasn't been healthy since. Washington did win a division championship with RG3. St. Louis has not done anything. And, oh, by the way, they still don't have a quarterback. And to your point, I don't know if it's just a bad mix with players and scheme or what, but Greg Williams is not working here. That was a great job by you to bring up their lack of pass rush
because
it is a problem. But, you know, Seattle's offensive line can be suspect sometimes, so maybe we see it get it going here. At least I'm hoping.
That's
for it.
That's true. So next up here, we got the 3-1-1 Bengals. Insert exclamation point here. At the 4-2 Colts, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, and Jenny Dell, CBS's B team, I believe, are on this game. And, past lounge,
like
that Ian Eagle, by the way. Yeah, exactly.
You follow the rankings there. Yes.
Yes, I do. With help, as always, from USA Today Sports Weekly. Indianapolis is laying 3 in this one. It's been pretty much a solid 3 all week, just for the home field, seemingly. Again, in looking at this, this was a very, very difficult one for me. I kept going back and forth. One of the numbers that I landed upon, for as much as everyone loves to take shots at the Indy ground game, here's what the Bengals are giving up, 141.4 yards per game on the ground. You're going to be having an even better than usual Colts balanced offense this week. I think it carries them. Indianapolis stays on their roll. I like them laying the 3.
Coming into the year, I was of the opinion that this game might be the regression bowl. It doesn't look like that, does it, Ricky? Both teams are in first place. That said, I'm still not warmed up to either. First of all, I hate that there was a tie last week. That's always dumb.
Yep.
I actually think it might, in the case of the Bengals, end up costing them a playoff spot. I'm not in what is going to be a knockdown drag-out AFC North, where all four teams are still alive. They have other problems too besides stopping the run. They can't get to the passer anymore. And that's a big issue. The fact that they had to play a full overtime session and Indianapolis hasn't played since Thursday, certainly doesn't work to the Bengals' benefit either. But particularly because they're off 4 straight covers as well, you know me and the Colts, that relationship, okay? Eventually, I will. And look, I love Andrew Luck. He's one of the top three quarterbacks in this league. I just don't like the rest of the team. I just feel I'd be selling myself out and laying the points with Indy. But I cannot disagree with you on that one. This is a hard game, but if you forced me to, I would actually probably consider laying the points in this one, because I actually now kind of think more is wrong with Cincinnati than Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, and when everyone was saying after a couple weeks, OMG, best defense in the league, yeah, Real House of Cards. They've been exposed. They're not the best. They're not the worst. They're somewhere in the middle of that bell curve. And they were, of course, predicated on being one of the best if they were to be considered an elite team. But they're not. So, yeah.
Injuries at receiver, too. Injuries at receiver, too, for Cincinnati.
A.J. Green. Yeah, yeah. When you don't have A.J. Green, it is a much
more Marvin Jones.
Complexion.
Yeah. Marvin
That's
Jones.
True. Yeah, both of them. Two other top three out of there. No doubt about that. Next up, the 2-3 Dolphins at the 3-3 Bears, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Soldier Field Sunday from Chicago on CBS. Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon going to be on the call for that one. That is one where the Bears are laying 3.5. It's been a fairly solid 3.5 through the course of the week. No real ups or downs. This is a line that, again, really kind of perplexes me, because I know that, you know, a lot of people out there are probably going to, OMG, Bears can't win at home. They haven't gotten it done at home. Do you really think that's going to keep going indefinitely? I feel like what they did in Atlanta last week when they proved me wrong, that was a statement game, and I think they're going to keep it going. You know what I think of my Dolphins. They've been in disarray this year. Two and three is actually better than I would have slotted them for. Partially that inexplicable week one showing against New England, especially in the second half. 1-3 since then. I think that 1-3 is more indicative of the Dolphins than their overall record. Give the Bears laying the 3.5 at home. This is almost a borderline why ask why, because I can't figure out why the odds makers would have them being that close to even on a neutral field right now.
Well, as far as why questions, you know, I'm going to ask you, why would you ever want to lay 3.5 in a game? That's a horrible number to lay. And you know, to your point, that's really all that's keeping me from backing Chicago here. Obviously, if you go back to my preseason forecast, I would certainly want to be on Chicago here. It's a team that I played early in the year, said was due to correct last year's poor ATS record. They did it first. Then they kind of nosedived, but like you, I was really impressed by them going to Atlanta and winning outright. Jay Cutler may have played his best game of the year last week in the Georgia Dome. So it appears that they're on the right track, but I'm not sure I have them figured out yet, the Bears. Although a win here would put them in good position, kind of where I might have thought they'd be before the start of the season, I just don't know if they're that good. Miami isn't very good, so I can't support them. And also you have to wonder with the Dolphins, how much do they have left after standing toe-to-toe with Green Bay? Should have given Miami out. I know I debated that on air last week, as they were able to cover the number. But you got to wonder what they have left now, having hit the road. So this was the first one I crossed off this week.
That was a push for me on the midweek line that we ended up using there. So that might have gone against me for one later in the week. Also on Sunday, as most of these are, so that's kind of a weird segue on my part, isn't it? 1 o'clock Eastern time from Lambeau Field. It's the 3-2-1 Panthers at the 4-2 Packers. Of course, the Panthers will be out to avenge their loss in the 1997 NFC Championship game. Past lounge guest Sam Rosen on the call here, along with John Lynch and the luscious Pam Oliver on the sidelines. And this is one where Green Bay is laying 7 points up from 6.5 at the open. So there's been that tiny little bit of fluctuation here. Again, you know me. I always like to look at the stat sheet and just kind of see if anything jumps out at me. Similar to what I mentioned about the Bengals, I'm looking at this here with the Packers. 154.5 yards per game surrendered on the ground. And the Achilles heel of the Panthers' offense is, of course, the running game. They've got like three or four guys that they're paying a combined $100 million to annually and still can't rush for crap unless Cam Newton is toting the rock, which he did last week successfully. They may not want him to do that 2 weeks in a row, but I don't think they're going to be able to resist against the Packers. You may see Cam go for another 100 on the ground this week, because the Packers are like a helpless infant thus far in shutting down the run game. I like Carolina to get under the number. I don't think they can win, but this will be one of my rare dogs for this week.
If anything, I'd tease Green Bay down in this one. I'm not interested in laying the points. But the Packers, remember before the year I said, don't be surprised to see them start slow. I've repeated that a couple times in the last couple weeks. But I'm looking for them to get going eventually. If I were on Carolina, I'd be really, really nervous that we could get another signature. There's always a chance of getting that signature game from Aaron Rodgers, like what he showed against Chicago a couple weeks ago. I'm not getting down on this one. I definitely think Green Bay is going to win this game straight up. Really, they have to, because I need Carolina to start losing games so I can win that under 8.5 win bet that I made before the year.
I still think you're going to do that, and I think that will
be
more
close,
apparent.
Though. It's going to be close. That was pretty foolish of me in retrospect to say Carolina 5-11 before the year. I think they're 7-8-1.
So. Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark sounds about right to me. Next up, it's the 3-2 Cleveland Browns at the 0-6 Jacksonville Jaguars. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Everbank Field in Jacksonville on CBS. The immortal team of Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, and Steve Berline on yet another Browns game. Thanks, CBS. And the Browns are laying 5.5 up from the initial 3 on the road in this game. Last week, again, I called it my prove-me-wrong Browns game.
Yes,
I was going to take a loss just so that I didn't jinx the Browns, because they never win those kind of games. But the fact that, again, they've really got it going on, I said that the defense was more likely to progress to the mean than the offense was to regress to the mean, and we saw that last week. The defense couldn't stay that bad forever. They came out with a terrific performance, and again, some of that was predicated on the fact that, as we saw, and we'll talk about this with the Monday Nighter, that is a Pittsburgh team right now looking much more stale than even another Cena-Orton matchup, so that really kind of tells you something right there.
But it wouldn't be one of these shows about you losing the audience, wouldn't it? There we go.
But in this one here, again,
I have the instinct 5.5's
a lot, but again, more out of my lack of regard for Jacksonville. Look, I'm a little bit nervous about it getting bet up to 5.5, but I'm going to stay on the Browns
you
this week
be.
Here because, well, to be on Jacksonville, really? You know, and I understand they beat the Browns in Cleveland last year, and I've been saying all along, I got a lot of regard for Gus Bradley, but sooner or later, you got to start getting some tiny kind of progression here. And that run game, oh boy, they made a losing bet on Toby Gerhardt, and it is killing them. So I'm on the Browns, so I weigh in the 5.5.
Jacksonville did cover last week. Of course, it was when I stopped backing them. They were in Tennessee. They, you know, after like 2 or 3 times losing on them earlier in the year, Jacksonville goes ahead and finishes in the black at Tennessee. Only lost 16-14. But the Titans are obviously a bad team. Not as bad as Jacksonville, but they're certainly a bad team. The Browns, believe it or not, are a good team. I cannot wait till our midseason program, Ricky, where we can discuss the Cleveland Browns playoff prospects. And no, I did not misspeak there. I legitimately believe this team has a chance to make the playoffs. If they can sweep their next 3 games, and oh, by the way, they are playing Jacksonville, Oakland, and Tampa Bay, a group of teams.
3 worst teams in the league.
Yeah, the 3 worst teams in the league. So they have a very good shot at being 6-2 Cleveland. But you talk about this line being bet up. I absolutely love that, to see that. This is sort of Cleveland at its apex of popularity, in my opinion, with the betting public. They're off a massive division win over the Steelers. This reeks like a letdown. I know Jacksonville also reeks, but, you know, I'm taking a lot of crummy teams this week, and Jacksonville will be my third recommendation, +5.5. I would wait till later in the week if you're listening to the show right now, because the number's going to keep going up.
Well, there's something to stir the confidence of the public. I'm all in all the crummy teams this week. So,
well, I've gone with the Jets, Rams, Jags trifecta. So, those teams are going to be near the bottom of your power rankings, but all in good spot. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All in good spots. Come on, guys. Come on.
Three teams that handle the pigskin about as well as old boat shoes handle the budget, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, the Raiders covered last week. It almost won outright.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We kid.
Yes, but the bottom line is, I mean, hey, these are the teams, you know, no one wants to take. And, you know, I mean, most people don't make a lot of money doing this. So give me the teams no one likes.
There you go. Well, that's an accurate summation if I ever heard one. Next up is the 2-4 Falcons at the 4-2 Ravens. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore Sunday with Justin Kutcher, David Deal, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman calling the game on Fox. And this is one where Baltimore is laying 7. It had been 6.5 initially. And in your expertly prepared show notes, which I have been a big fan of in the last month or so since you've been doing these, you pointed out something I thought very strong, and that is, of course, that, again, some value in the line with Atlanta, because had you looked at this a week ago, it would have been a different line, but perceptions change. Baltimore off of that, you know, it's an outlier what they did to Tampa Bay, because if you're going to give them all the credit for that, well, who else did that to Tampa Bay? It's the team they're playing this Sunday, Atlanta. But we have short memories and tend to forget that.
Yes!
So, you know, I'm with you on this one. I think Atlanta can hang. I'd be moderately surprised if they won it outright. They're not really good outdoors. But, you know, again, peak Ravens kind of in terms of perception right now. So I agree with you. I'd be on the Falcons here getting the touchdown.
The advance line before Atlanta lost outright at home to Chicago last week was 5. So you can get this one at 7.5. That's obviously across the key number of 7. This is a desperate Falcons team. What in heaven's name has happened here? After their beat down at Tampa Bay, which you referenced, I was ready to make a case for this team to win the NFC South, to, you know, maybe compete that second bye in the NFC, but all of a sudden, they've lost 3 in a row and not looked very good doing it. They're almost kind of like the old Cowboy teams. When I say old Cowboy teams, I'm not talking about the Roger Staubach Cowboy teams or the Troy Aikman Cowboy teams. I'm kind of talking about the Tony Romo Cowboy teams of 2 or 3 years ago, where they're real strong at the skill positions, but not really anywhere else. This team, Jake Matthews, you know, the old adage, fix an offensive tackle, has not rung true with him. He has sucked so far, to put it bluntly. And their defense still doesn't have a lot of playmakers. Baltimore, I'm going to do this when we do our midseason show. I'm going to, assuming that they still continue to play okay, I'm going to kind of do a mea culpa on them and say that, you know what, I was wrong. They're better than I thought. But I just see this as a game where Atlanta's going to hang until the very end. I really think we're getting good value on the Falcons, who admittedly aren't a good road team, and Ravens are great at home. But this will be a close game down to the end. Falcons are the 4th recommended play this week. Here's at least a decent team. That's a step up from the other
team,
right, Ricky?
Okay. A team that could snip the playoffs. That's kind of an outlier for you this week on these games here. So next up, with still about half the slate to go, this is not exactly the Vince Lombardi Bowl. The 2-4 Vikings at the 3-3 Bills. A couple teams not real good. Are they? You got, it says in USA Today Sports Weekly, of course, this is dated information, Mike Goldberg, Brandon Iambonejo, and Peter Schrager.
Yeah.
Of course, it will be Tim Brando on the play-by-play call after Mike Goldberg went and dropped a bunch of F-bombs on people critiquing his work on Twitter last week. So, with that being the case, in looking at these two teams here again, this is one where, you know what, and I've actually jumped myself here by not paying good enough attention.
Yes, you have.
So we're getting this out of the way. The Vikings ground game, after initially getting through the post-AP thing here, has slacked off again, and Buffalo is really good at making teams one-dimensional. Now, Tom Brady, with that dimension, shredded them last week. The Vikings cannot repeat that. So this is actually one of my pick three that I actually screwed up and I'm getting to early. The Bills are laying 5.5, had been 3.5 at the outset. I'm a little nervous about the way it got set up, but not enough to chase me off of Buffalo as the first of my recommended three.
I am too scared to bet Buffalo. I don't want to bet an inflated line with the Buffalo Bills, who are a team that, you know, I said over the win total, I said they'd be a playoff team. I've come off that, oh, by the way. That's another thing I'll talk about.
Okay.
All right. But you got to feel for the Vikings offensive line after it got obliterated last week by Detroit. Now it's going against another good front four of Buffalo. So, you know, I don't hate that pick, Ricky.
Okay. All right. Next up, you said in your show notes, this next one's a very tough one, and I agree with you. A battle of dome teams, the 2-3 Saints at the 4-2 Lions. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Ford Field in Detroit on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondae Barber, Jennifer Hale on the call. Detroit is laying 2.5 on this one. It had been up to 3 after opening at 2.5. I go back and forth on this one here. My initial thought was Saints are kind of due to start bouncing back and not looking as horrific as they have been. That wasn't enough to push me on them, though, because the Lions have been for real. Sort of the inverse of the Browns, right?
Yes.
Much better defensively than we thought. The offense
yes.
kind of like, wait a minute, I thought Matt Stafford and all these playmakers played here, you know? So they're sort of like the anti-Browns, but they've been successful as well. What's got me on the Saints, after all, is, again, the fact that they've won their last 5 games after the bye week from 2009 to 2013. Sean Payton really seems to thrive in this situation. I think with the Saints back against the wall, he finds a way to do it again, even without quite possibly Jimmy Graham. I'll take New Orleans getting the 2.5 at Detroit, and again, that likely means to win outright, and I'm comfortable saying that.
The dreaded, well, we have 20 minutes to go and half a slate to still talk about is usually code for Kyle, shut up, and I'll be honest with you, I have nothing to say about this game. I don't know. I really don't know. I have nothing to bring to the table here. This, to me, is an impossible game to call. Detroit is definitely a better team right now than New Orleans, but like you, it's hard for me to envision the Saints being 2-4.
And yet, in true Jason Jones style, you managed to extrapolate nothing to say into about 30 seconds. So congratulations, Jason. I'm just ripping people left and right today, aren't I?
Yeah,
I am. I'm just in one of those moods, I suppose. I'm just in a slap happy mood. Next up, it's the 2-4 Titans at the 1-5 Redskins. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, FedEx Field, Landover, Maryland, CBS. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Evan Washburn on the call for CBS. Washington is laying 5.5 in this one. It was 4 at the outset. And again, the main thing I'm looking at in this game is that the Titans are less stout against the run by about 20 yards per game than the Redskins. I think it's just going to be a matter of feeding Alfred Morris. You feed the bell cow in a game like this, two crappy teams. Redskins need it to have any chance of staying in anything, which they're probably out of already, even a wild card
nope.
race. But two bad teams here. Behind Alfred Morris, I think the Redskins keep it going for one more week. I like them covering the 5.5 against Tennessee.
Yeah, let's talk about the running game. I feel I'm doing the show with Mike Ditka this week, for crying out loud. I can't lay points with Washington. No way. Kirk Cousins is so bad. The only people who think he's as good as RG3 at this point are racist. I'm convinced. which is ironic because of the owner. So, you know, I mean, there
yeah.
you have it. But at the same time, Tennessee stinks too. I mean, they're really bad. I still don't know why Ken Whisenhunt spurned the Jets job, the Lions job for this one. I think this game almost identically is that Bills-Vikings game that you like so much in that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the favorite will probably win. I mean, it's one that they have to have at home against the bad team. But I'm not in the business of laying points with Washington right now. No, no, no.
I can't blame you. I'm queasy on that myself. Next up, it's the national game of the week on Fox, the 3-3 Giants at the 5-1 Redskins, 4:25 Eastern Time, AT&T Stadium in Arlington on Fox. So it is, because of the baseball playoffs, Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and Teresa Thompson as the A-team for Fox. In this game, the Cowboys are laying 6.5, had been 5 at the outset, and again, what a difference a week makes, because everyone was saying going into last week, let's see the Cowboys prove it in Seattle, myself included. And again, the Giants were on a big upswing. And again, everyone now is burying them. FDH Director of Research Nate Noy earlier this week, just sort of like assuming that this was going to be a blowout. You know, the Giants, anytime you peg them too much one way or another, that's when they kill you. And they started off 0-2. We were ready to bury them. They really got it going.
I just think that the public perception has gotten sort of drunk yet again here. I'm going to take the Giants covering the 6.5. This is a game that a week ago, had the Giants won this game outright, we wouldn't be shocked. Today, it would be a national sensation if they won it. But, you know, I think the Giants can hang in this one. I'll take the 6.5.
Juven, I'm with you. Give me these points. You know, we talked about it every week, it seems. Dallas, almost always overvalued Cowboys, just haven't been overvalued this year, except for once against Houston. I went against them 2 weeks ago. They did not cover that game. They're even more overvalued this week. You get a division game, can go either way. I'm totally with you. If the Giants won this game, I wouldn't be shocked. All that I'm hoping for is that when we do this midseason show that I've been thinking of, I hope you can bring it upon yourself to say a few nice things about Tony Romo. Because what a man, what a quarterback, and what a team. This is a for real group, as far as I'm concerned. Do you know who their next four opponents are, by the way, including this one, the Giants? Washington at home, Arizona at home, Jacksonville at London. They will be favored in all those games. Could the Dallas Cowboys be 9-1? They'll lose.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, but they'll lose one of them probably, and I'm kind of hoping it's this week.
Juven,
yeah. My fifth recommendation this week.
Could very well be. By the way, after a decade plus in the league, the next time Tony Romo does anything in the month of December will be the first. So you might want to stay in your lane on Tony Romo just for a second here. Just a thought. But
by Tony Romo, you're talking about the guy with the most fourth quarter comebacks in the league over that time, just so we're clear.
How many of them were in December? Probably none. But that's just my guess. Unscientifically.
There's a few.
There's
a few, I'm sure. I'll find them. Too.
We have up next on Sunday night. Yeah. Watch the tape. We have up next on Sunday night. This is what NBC is hoping for when the schedule gets made every year. This was when we made out the list of the FDH best games of the 2014 NFL season in Fantasy Football Draftology 2014. By the way, still available on fantasydrafthelp.com as a free download. We rated this the number 5 game of the entire season. The last two Super Bowl losers, very possibly, going to return this year. They're both in the mix, the 4-2 49ers at the 4-1 Broncos, 8:30 Eastern Time, Sports Authority Field at Mile High in Denver on NBC Sunday night. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. Denver's laying 7 in this one. It had been 6 at the outset. And again, the Broncos from time to time, you've seen it with Russell Wilson. Sometimes the mobile quarterbacks can kind of give them fits. They've had a sterling defense overall, but if they have a chink in the armor, that might be it. I know it's a short week for San Francisco. I know there's a decent amount of travel back and forth. St. Louis back to the coast, out to Denver again. I don't know, though. I like San Francisco getting a touchdown on Sunday night. They're a team that's certainly good enough to win there outright. Give me the 49ers.
Just like the Lions Saints, this is a brutal game to pick. Right on the key number. Number seems right. I don't know. Next. I got nothing for you there. For you. I don't have much for you from here on out on the few we have left.
Oh.
So we should be in good shape. But I really don't have a lot of that. It's a great line, and it's two very good teams. I'll enjoy watching the game, but I'm not going to be betting it.
That game is going to be something special, no question about it. The Monday Nighter, I don't think you can say the same. This ain't exactly Houston-Pittsburgh from the late 70s, folks. You got the 3-3 Texans at the 3-3 Steelers, 8:30 Eastern Time, Heinz Field, Pittsburgh on ESPN, Tirico, Gruden, Salters on the call for this one. Pittsburgh's laying 3. They had been laying 4 at the open, but after people, I think, reflected a little bit more on the stale egg that they laid in Cleveland, that might have had something to do with the number coming down. This is one where, again, you know, and as I said to my best friend the other day, who's a Steelers fan, I don't know why you guys never draft cornerbacks, but I'm grateful. And I look at this, and again, with Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, not exactly the best delivery system, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'll give you that. But it's a Pittsburgh team that's reeling right now. It's not the finest hour for the Texans either. But I think they can stay inside of the 3 and certainly win outright Monday night. I'll be on the Texans. That's a crowd that looks poised to turn on the Steelers, by the way, if they get off to a bad start. So that has to be factored in as well.
By the time Monday rolls around, hopefully that number gets bet back up a little bit. Eh, you can probably give it to the Texans. They're a good play, but not right now.
Okay. And, yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit queasy putting any kind of faith on Houston. They are going to have an extra day, though, which to me is weird. Why would you have teams go Thursday, Monday, back-to-back?
Yeah, that is true. That's key. You know what? I actually still, maybe it's just the division that they're in. I think a much better shot at making the playoffs still than Pittsburgh. I shouldn't say much.
I agree.
But a better shot.
Absolutely.
A better shot. A better shot.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, because all Houston needs is for the Colts to stumble. Pittsburgh needs everybody to beat up on each other in the AFC North, which may yet happen, but you're right. It's a cleaner scenario for Houston to make the playoffs. No question about that. We go to the last of my big three games here, now that I stumbled and I got one of them out of the way earlier due to lack of paying attention sufficiently going down my sheet. It's the 4-1 Cardinals at the 0-5 Raiders, 4:25 Eastern time from Ocho Coliseum in Oakland. It is Dick Stockton, Brady Quinn, and Christina Pink, a very eclectic crew, if you will, on the call.
Yeah.
And
what did Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn talk about, in the car ride to the game, you know, and that car ride to the O.co Coliseum? What are they talking about?
Maybe Brady says, hey, Mr. Stockton, your old lady's a real gilf. You know, it could be that. I don't know. I'm just guessing here. But in looking at this game and trying to break it down, the Cardinals have gotten to 4-1 without Andre Ellington doing much of anything thus far. I know he's been banged up, but still, if ever there looks like a good opportunity for him to get loose, it could be here. Arizona's going to be the second of my picks. I'm not with you on anymore on calling for them to regress big time. I'm willing to admit that I was wrong on them. I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they're going to be much, much better, I think, than we said they were. Cardinals may stumble, but it won't be this week. I like them laying the 3.5. It was 4 at the open. I'm almost suspicious the number's so low. I know they're on the road, but one of the best teams in the league thus far against arguably the worst. So I'll take the Cardinals. Yeah.
I really want to take the Raiders. You know I do. But the fact that I'm not is telling. I give up with Arizona, Ricky. I don't understand. They've cycled through three quarterbacks, none of whom is very good, and like half of their defensive starters from last year have been injured, suspended, or left from free agency. And they're still good, and they're still winning the Southwest Division. I don't understand what's under that hipster hat of Bruce Arians. I give up. I'm passing on this game.
And I think that's it. We just have to accept that somehow or another Bruce Arians is getting it done, and he is the common denominator to all of this. Last up, it is a divisional rivalry. It's the 2-3 Chiefs at the 5-1 Chargers, 4:05 Eastern Time, Qualcomm Stadium, San Diego on CBS. Spiro Dedis and Solomon Wilcots on the call as San Diego is laying 4 to the Chiefs, had been 5.5 at the open, particularly with that number coming down. I like the Chargers. Maybe people are going to overreact. Maybe that's what the betting is showing in terms of, they stubbed their toe against Oakland last week, but we both called Oakland to cover. That was an opportunity where, again, you know, new coach, bye week, et cetera. It was sort of like I talked to somebody else off air this week, and we agreed that's the high water mark for Oakland this year. They won't go 0-16, but losing narrowly against a good team, that's more impressive probably than any of their wins against crappy teams that come later in the year. That's the high water mark, and San Diego shouldn't be judged negatively for it. I like the Chargers laying the 4 to the Chiefs to round out my big three. This is my 1,000-star gold-plated block of the millennium for NFL Week 7 to go along with Arizona and Buffalo as my other big three picks.
I don't hate that pick, but I don't know. Division games, I don't like slight points, especially Kansas City coming off a bye.
They are coming off a bye.
Second division opponent in a row that San Diego will be playing that's off a bye. So, I don't know. I love San Diego just like you do, but I'll look for other spots to take them this year.
San Diego Superchargers. I like the Lightning Bolts as the lock for this week. Arizona and Buffalo, as I say, my other picks. Your 5. The Jets, the Rams, the Jaguars, the Falcons, the Giants. A real murderer's row right there, Kyle Ross. Both New York
teams. It always is, isn't it? I got five on it. I'm telling you, those teams are going to get it done this week for me. I'm confident in those 5. Good picks this week. Good picks.
I love whenever you get self-congratulatory. That is awesome.
Yes.
16-10 on the season. You're going with both New York teams.
you are a guy with a big market bias, Kyle Ross, no question about that. That's one of the things that makes you fun, and Week 7's show certainly was a lot of that. Looking forward to the Week 7 slate and convening again for Week 8.
As always, Ricky, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes, it was. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, to the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.